Right, time to launch Money May. Every Friday in May, you'll be getting some top tips on how to manage your cash from our resident money man, Dave Penny. Yes, that is his real name. He's the Managing Director of Invest Southwest. They're independent financial advisors based in Somerset. Dave's going to be making sure you know how to make the most of what you've got and possibly how you can get some more cash in your piggy bank. Now, coming up over the month, we're going to cover pensions, equity release, and making and saving money. But today, we're going to do the money basics. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Emma.
Penny is your real name, isn't it? People
yes.
think I've made it up.
And everyone calls me Money Penny now around the Taunton Somerset area, so thank you so much for that.
Oh, nothing to do with me. So how long have you worked in the money industry, then?
I've worked in the money industry now for about 20 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what is it you love about it? Because I think I'd be a bit bummed boozled with all those facts and figures.
It's complicated, it's ever changing,
yeah.
So you never really, it's a bit like golf, you never really master it. And it affects every single living person on this earth, and so it's relevant to everybody. I find it sort of fascinating, and everyone's always got an opinion, and it's ever changing.
And as someone who deals with money on a daily basis as a business, are you good at looking after your own?
Oh, what a difficult question. We have an architect living close to us who has a big work to do on his house, and,
yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, God, if I had to come home from work in the evening and do some complicated pensions advice for
exactly.
myself, I might struggle to be incentivised to do that. Yeah, my finances are okay, Emma.
They're okay.
Yeah.
It's like me living with a bricklayer and can never get a wall built, that kind of thing. Okay. So if anyone's got any questions, now, we appreciate that we can't do specifics on phone questions because it's people's private details, isn't it? But if anyone wants any general advice on what they should and shouldn't be doing, you're happy to take those calls, aren't you?
Very much so, yes.
Okay, so if you've got a question for Dave, he's going to be here every Friday in May, then you can call 0845 303 1566 or text me 81333. Start your message with the word Somerset. Make sure you put your name on. Dave's going to be here until about 11:30 this morning. So what's going on in the news in the money world at the moment then, Dave? There are lots of changes afoot, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And strangely, the news item I've picked out this week relates to our theme, which is kind of money basics.
Yeah.
And it relates to the fact that last week HSBC announced plans to cut most of the 700 financial advisors working at its branches in Britain. It comes on the top of last year they sacked 460 of their advisors, leaving basically none apart from a few for the wealthy clients. Other banks are considered to be about to follow suit. Barclays have already sacked all of their financial advisors. And the reason I think it's newsworthy right now for this topic is because one of the biggest problems that I perceive in this country, apart from the acute things like debt and unemployment,
yeah.
which actually only affects about 8% of people in this country, everybody suffers from the issue about where the hell do I get financial advice from? If I have an issue to discuss, where can I get trustworthy, cost-effective financial advice?
Why have the banks got rid of theirs then? Because they weren't independent?
There's a big change coming up in a regulatory. The FSA have said, end of this year, financial advisors cannot charge commission, they can only charge fees, which must be agreed up front with clients, which is a good thing, without a doubt. Having something done underhand is not a good thing, but that really has been how the banks and building societies have been paid for the financial advice they've given. It's been via commission. It's been questionably disclosed. They've been caught with their trousers down so many times, misleading clients, that they don't perceive when they have to disclose fees to clients, they'll get away with it, so they're pulling out of the marketplace. And that really means that, and a topic we'll discuss in a second, you
yeah.
know, where do people go to get advice? It's a recurrent and ever-growing problem.
It's very difficult, though, isn't it? Particularly if you haven't got a lot of money, you to then turn around and think you have to pay someone for advice,
mm-hmm.
you might be put off of that, mightn't you?
Yes, the two biggest responses I hear from clients, because we are independent financial advisors, is, Dave, listen, I haven't got enough money to merit advice from a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Or secondly, I can't afford your fees. And I guess in that second statement is also a belief that there isn't enough benefit to make it worthwhile paying fees. And that's something which we as a profession need to overcome, because both of those issues actually are not right. You don't need to have much money, and it doesn't need to cost much money to take advice.
So it wouldn't be, you don't envisage there being like a set fee. It will be almost like you'll be quoted for how much it will cost to address the issue you want to address.
Well, the rules state that simply how an advisor is paid must be agreed before any work is commenced and any charging starts. So it could be a set fee, it could be a percentage, it could be an hourly rate, it could be just a one-off.
Okay. A bit like a solicitor.
Exactly. The idea is that you should be able to add value to a client's situation as an advisor, and the client should be happy to pay for that advice in some way.
You're independent, and there are many people like you, and you guys are regulated, aren't you?
Very heavily regulated, Emma, yes. And my industry is one which has been riddled with problems in the past, mis-selling of pensions and endowments, and you name it. The PPI mis-selling scandal is kind of touches upon my profession, and it's absolutely right that we're heavily regulated, and then becoming even more so. Plus, the change in rules at the end of this year state that advisors have to have an additional, very high level of qualification, which will eradicate quite a few advisors. Lots of folks are leaving my industry because they can't get to that level of qualification required to be entrusted with delivering advice to the public, and that can only be a good thing in terms of the quality of advice that's received.
Interesting. So when does this all change? Does it come into effect?
December 31st of this year.
To end of this year.
But most firms have their changes now already in place.
Okay. Well, coming up, we're going to go through the money basics with Dave, which is our topic this month. So where you go for advice, whether you should have an emergency cash reserve. I hate talking about that because I always get nervous. And how do you keep on top of your finances? So how do you make sure that your finances are in the best position possible? It's Money May here on the Emma Britton Show with our resident money man, Dave Penny. And up where we belong. It's nearly 20 past 11. Where is the morning going? This is the Emma Britton Show on BBC Somerset. Travel and weather on the way in 10 minutes. We're in the middle of our first episode of Money May. Every Friday in May, our resident money man, Dave Penny, who is the managing director of a firm of independent financial advisors here in Somerset, is here to make sure you know how to make sure you got the most out of what you've got, and possibly how you might be able to get a bit more cash in your piggy bank. So, Dave, we're doing money basics this month. So you've already told us that banks are going to be scrapping financial advisors. So how on earth do you go about choosing where you get your advice from?
Good question, Emma. Let me firstly tell you what the problem is. Firstly, it is that we need to be more in control of our finances now than we did 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the government looked after you. If you lost your job, if one of you died, if you got to retirement, had to have a house, the government would give you stuff. Margaret Thatcher reduced taxes and took away all the benefits, and now we have to look after our own finances. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the number of advisors out there is diminishing rapidly. The number of IFAs that do my job are leaving the industry. The banks are closing down all their advisors. The door knockers of 20 years ago, the Allied Dunbars, they've all left the marketplace. So there are less advisors out there. So where do you find an advisor? Good question. Let's start from the very beginning insofar as do you need an advisor? My advice to every single listener you have out there is if you don't take an interest in your finances, then do. The first thing you should do, point one, take an interest in your finances. How do you do that? Well, educate yourself. Read the Sunday papers, read the money section, listen to the very informative sessions you have on BBC Somerset. There are some neutral websites you can go to, such as moneyadviceservice.org.uk. It's government-run. There's no selling. Some great various examples of guides and so on.
I've been on that website. And it's very user-friendly as well.
It's designed to educate the average normal person.
And they're not trying to flog you anything,
nothing
so you feel a little bit safe.
No,
because it can be
nothing.
Intimidating. Because if I pick up the phone, go through the internet or the good old yellow pages or whatever and say, oh, there's an independent financial advisor. Mm. When I pick up the phone, if they've got the right patter, next thing I know, I'm sucked into them
indeed.
And you might feel pressured.
And if you like the person, how does that mean they're giving you good advice? It's a different thing altogether, isn't it?
Mm.
So educate yourself. In that way, Money Advice Service, direct.gov.uk has got some great information about all kinds of financial aspects, including benefits. So get a feel for what's happening in your finances. Thirdly, then, if you then decide, yes, I need equity release, that's the right thing for me, I've done all my research and I feel I need it, and then you do need advice, you have to understand some certain things. If you Google equity release, you will find at the top of the page comes Aviva. They always come top, they advertise heavily, they're a good firm. But what they will be doing is trying to sell you as much of their product as they can. They won't advise you. That's not their job. Just like Marks and Spencers do and B&Q do, they're rightly selling their product.
Yeah.
Not a problem with that, but you won't receive advice. The same thing applies if you walk into any of the high street institutions, banks, building societies. They're not advisors. They haven't got access to the whole market. They selling their own product, which again is perfectly fine as long as you don't imagine you're getting advice.
Okay, because that word advice is the crucial, isn't it? You need someone who can look at the whole of the market for you, I suppose.
Yes, and I think there's no issue in naming names. NatWest right now have a great advert for mortgages. You get your own personal mortgage advisor who will help you select the best product.
But it'll be a NatWest product.
From their own range.
Yeah.
And their own range actually isn't very competitive. I'm an independent mortgage advisor. I can tell you NatWest range isn't that competitive. So it's it's a bit misleading. So you need someone who can go to the whole market. And obviously, I have to disclose a vested interest, Emma. I am an independent financial advisor, so I have to disclose that fact.
But personal recommendation often works well, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
If you talk to friends and say, you know, what do you do about it?
Yeah.
And that way, you know. And do you need to check that the person you're getting advice from is properly qualified or properly registered?
Yes, you do, absolutely. And I think there's a few questions you should ask of your financial advisor. Firstly, do you have the whole market available to you, or are you tied? Will the first meeting that I have with you, when I sit down with you, will that be free of charge, at which point you can get to understand the situation if help can be given? And thirdly, I would ask my advisor, is it fair to say that there will be no charges? I will not pay any charges at all until such time as that's agreed and we can establish that I can be benefited by receiving your advice. And if they can't answer those questions satisfactorily, walk away, because there are plenty who will. And if you're worried about qualifications, then the FSA register will show you that they are qualified advisors. They must be authorised by the Financial Services Authority.
Okay. Emergency cash reserves. Boo! You've talked to me about this before, and I always think, why do I have to keep an emergency cash reserve? Why is it important?
Just because something might happen in life, Emma, and if you've got all your money tied up and you have all your credit cards and personal loans and you can't get money elsewhere, that's where lots of my clients who I see who are out of control in their finances, it's simply because something's happened. They've lost their job for a month or two, or been sick for a month or two. One of their children's required help. They can't get money. Some of these payday loans that go out of control. It's a really simple, basic way to make sure you can cope with life's ups and downs. And you know, people go through, they're youngsters, they become students, they're used to borrowing, that's the way you go through these things. At the point in your life where you start to get savings generated, it's a big psychological shift when you get an emergency cash reserve, because you start to protect it. You then won't get the next personal loan or get your gold card up to its maximum limit, because you'll start to feel like, oh, I've got some money I need to protect. And it's a shift psychologically where you have an emergency cash reserve.
It's what we would have known back in the day as the sort of the rainy day fund, isn't it?
Yes. And if you add to that any planned spending you have, the big holiday next year, or your children's university fees, or some work on the house, if you look forward, then you'll find that you don't get yourself into a mess in the future.
So where should you put it? Because presumably you'd need to be able to get at it quickly.
Yeah, it needs to be instant access, cash deposit account, maybe a cash ISA if you don't have your cash ISAs already funded. Bearing in mind you can't put money in and out of ISAs. Once it's in and then taken out, it's out.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, if you're not using a cash ISA, use that. It's tax-free. And again, the High Street Banks Building Society is quite keen to tie you up into fixed rate this or stock market linked that. Don't go for that. Simple variable deposit account.
Okay. What about where you put your money? Because, you know, I still remember those pictures on the TV of people queuing outside North Rock to withdraw their money when Northern Rock was getting a bit dodgy. You know, I know people who've got like a little bit here with that company, a little bit over there with that company. Should you spread your eggs around in multiple baskets?
Eggs in different baskets is a wonderful phrase, isn't it? And I've got to say, the more mature clients I come across, perhaps the retired people, tend to really go for that principle.
Yeah.
And of course, it makes sense, doesn't it? In principle, have your eggs in different baskets. Something goes wrong with one basket, you've got other baskets. But it doesn't work if you're putting your money in lots of different deposit accounts. I see lots of older people who have 7, 8, 10, 12 different deposit accounts dotted around the high street with 4,000 pounds in each. But it's actually your eggs in the same basket dotted around. It's all deposit account money. You're protected up to £85,000 in any one provider. So if you have lots of deposit accounts dotted around, you no doubt have a nightmare about administering it, organising it. Half of them will be on 0.1% interest rate. Get them all into one place. If it's less than £85,000, pick the best deposit account and put all the money there. If it's above 85, well, fair enough, share it around, because the protection of your money then drops off at £85,000.
Okay.
But it's a nightmare having to administer these things in multiple accounts.
Okay, now we're talking about money basics here on Money Mate with Dave Penny. Something you wanted to get across this morning was the importance of having a will, regardless of your age or situation.
Yeah, you might not think this is money advice, but one of the biggest areas that can tear a family apart, and financially, not just kind of emotionally, but financially, is someone dying without a will, dying intestate, because a government will decide where your money goes. And there are certain situations in which you wouldn't think can be really problems can be caused by that. Firstly, if you've written a will, one or both of you, and then you get married, married totally nullifies a will. So if you get married, any wills you had previously don't exist as far as the law is concerned. So for goodness sake, if you get married, think about wills. Of course, lots of folks nowadays get divorced and separate, and they and you know, 5 years later you think, oh my goodness, my will leaves all my money to my ex-partner who I hate. So give that some thought.
Yeah.
We've probably all been there.
Might want to consider that.
My final point on wills is common law partnership is lawless. If you've been together for 20 years, you're not married, you have children, one of you dies, the partner has no rights. There's no kind of time period in which they accrue the rights. Without a will, the common law partner will get nothing, and then the family of the deceased person, children, brothers, sisters, parents, will. And I've seen families, again, torn apart by that happening. So write a will. It costs about £100 to do it. It's what you offset in terms of grief, hardship and financial cost. It's not very expensive.
And presumably with your will, you should have a list of, you know, all of your financial aspects, you know, your accounts, where you've got your money, where you've got your insurance policies and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, indeed, another painful process. It's another reason to actually sit with a financial advisor who'll do it for you. But yes, sitting down and listing your assets, which can dovetail into doing a monthly budget. It's been proven that if you do a monthly budget, look at your finances once a month, it'll save you on average £1,400 a year. So just once you've done that list, it's actually quite simple once a month to just update it and make sure it's accurate. You'll save yourself some money and you'll be looking after your family.
My nan has this. She has a little book and she showed me the other day. She's always done this, written what goes in and what goes out in a little book every time she makes a transaction since she was, you know, running a household and having housekeeping from my granddad, you know, and that's so she knows exactly what she has at any one time.
Yes, it's amazing how many exercise books you see with that information.
I can't believe people who go into a bank and go, oh, where's all my money gone this month? How can you not know? How can you not know? It's only you that will have taken it out.
It's either a sign of great wealth or great poverty.
Okay. All right, Dave, thank you. We've covered the money basics this week, okay? So looking at those basics that we should all be doing, okay, with no excuse, because it's our money at the end of the day. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking about mortgages and also equity release. Are you aware how much more stricter conditions are now for lending if you want to mortgage or remortgage your property? And also a look at equity release, where people may have all of their financial assets tied up in a house and they might want to get their hands on some cash, something which I know is pretty popular. Dave will be here next Friday as part of Money May to talk about that. Dave, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
I'm going home to check my emergency cash reserve. Dave Penny, Managing Director of Invest Southwest. They're independent financial advisors here in Somerset. Dave is our resident money expert, and he'll be back next Friday.